Hello, Westwood family. It is so good to be in this house. I have missed you all greatly, and I am so honored to be back in a place that I love. I wish, truly, with all of my heart, that we were here face to face. And once all of this blows over, here's my commitment to you, that I will come back, whether it is Joel preaching or whether I get an invitation to come back and preach. We will come back and we will embrace and we will high five and we will have a celebration and we will glorify God together. But for right now, I'm honored to be with you in this manner. Thank you for having me back. To Joel, to Carrie, thank you for the privilege of allowing me to be here. Joel is a good friend and a good brother, and you have a blessed pastor and a wonderful first lady. For those of you who I haven't had the chance to be friends with yet, my name is Pastor Laurel Bunker, and I currently serve as the Associate Vice President for Christian Formation and Church Relations at Bethel University. So essentially what that means is that I'm the campus pastor, that sometimes I'm a mom there, the campus to 2,300 students, but more than that, I am a lover of God. I am a preacher of his word. I am a wife to a wonderful man, and I am a mama to two great girls. Today, I want to preach to you this Mother's Day message that I pray will encourage your soul. And here's the title of it: No Small Thing, Why Momming Matters Today and Every Day. Yes, I said momming. Now, I don't know if I made up that word or not, but I like it. It's a little more finessed than mothering. And plus, I think it just makes us feel good, right? This is a weekend to be able to celebrate you, to be able to celebrate us, to be able to celebrate the fact that God has chosen us to be givers of life, in not only through our bodies, but givers of his love to the children that have been given to us. So I want to celebrate you. I want to celebrate you, mommies, you mama bears, you grandmas, you mimes, you mamas, you aunties, you sisters, all of you who are giving your lives daily, pouring yourselves out, feeding children and driving here and there and making sure that they have all that they need. Today is about you. Today is about celebrating the greatness of who you are, the wonder of who God has made you, and the joys and the challenges that come with being a mom. And we will talk a little bit more about that through the story of two particular women. But right now, I just want to spend a couple moments with you, lifting you up a little bit and giving you some encouragement. You know, when we think about the realities of being moms, there's lots of things that go with it. And here's what I know to be true. There is nothing small, insignificant, or unimpressive about being a mom. It is, I believe, the quintessential act of self-sacrifice, both literally and figuratively. Motherhood is an investment that begins in the soul and in the spirit long before that first pregnancy test, the noticeable baby bump, the IVF injection, or the celebratory gotcha days when you celebrate the fact that you have become a mom through adoption. Motherhood is refining, too. It's refined us at the bedside of our sick kiddos, early morning nursing sessions, postpartum depression, door slamming, potty training, junior high band camping, tryouts, and try-ons of that first dress. Sprains and breaks of the body and the heart. Momming is epic, so much so that this is your first assignment. Next time, moms, you go to Michael's, I want you to walk in that door with your tribe of children, because every single time we're somewhere that we're shopping, we literally have our children and somebody else's kid in tow. And I want you to go into Michael's and I want you to throw your purse or your backpack in that little itty bitty cart that they give you. I want you to tell your kids to hold on, and I want you to make a straight beeline back for that area where they have all of the stickers, one of my favorite parts. And I want you to look for the superhero section, and I want you to find the best, biggest sticker, and I want you to rip open that cellophane, and I want you to slap it on yourself, and I want you to say, "Momming matters." Because sometimes we just have to encourage ourselves when days are hard and food is scarce and we're exhausted and we're depleted and the 20 pounds that you wanted to take off 5 years ago hasn't gone away. Your momming matters. It's no small thing, even when you feel woefully small. I was reading one of my favorite magazines, Real Simple, the other day, and in the very front of Real Simple, there's always a beautiful page with a quote that is placed at the very bottom. This particular month, of course, is given to or dedicated to mothers, and so I found at the very bottom a quote that just seemed to fit the message well today, and it's by a woman named Lori Gottlieb, who is an author, and she says this: "Most big transformations come about from the hundreds of tiny, almost imperceptible steps that we take along the way." I think that that's true. How true is that about our momming, about parenting? That it's not about the huge epic things, it's the tiny things, the daily things, the routines that we set in place. It's the way that we set things in our homes. It's the way that we carry ourselves. It's the way that we love. It's the daily showing up. It's consistency and constancy and trust. Not the heroic leaps, although we take those, but the tiny steps. Not the Rembrandt moments that we all want to have, but it's the wonky Crayola crayon moments that you remember most, right? And that you hang on your refrigerator with pride. Actress Jennifer Garner described mommyhood in this manner: "Motherhood is a very full, happy, confusing, complicated, wonderful life." Amen, Jennifer Garner. Those are words spoken by somebody who knows what it is to try to balance the happy and the sad, the good and the bad, the frustrations and the glorious moments of what it is to be a mom. Author Donna Bell said that motherhood is a choice that you make every day to put someone else's happiness and well-being ahead of your own, to teach the hard lessons, to do the right thing, even when you're not sure what the right thing is, and to forgive yourself over and over again for doing everything wrong. I don't know about you, but as a mom, I have felt that. I have felt that all of my best laid plans kind of fell flat. And one of the things that I've had to learn in and through the love of Jesus Christ is self-forgiveness. And I pray today that as we minister this word, that you too will give yourself just a little more grace and a whole lot more love. And that as we pour through the scriptures together, you might feel a sense of refining going on. It might feel a little bit hot and a little bit hard, but that you will find that your momming matters every day, and it's no small thing. The big transformations in our lives as mothers, and oftentimes as spouses, or the seismic spiritual and personal shifts in the lives of our children don't come as a result of one big decision that we make, but thousands of little ones that we make over and over and over. The prayers that we pray, the tears that we wipe, the conversations that we entertain through the cracks of the bathroom door, the cookies we bake, the fireflies we catch, the games that we attend and cheer wildly at, the bedtime stories that we read for the 100th time, the overnights that we host, the band-aids that we applied to skin knees and broken hearts. It's the little things that we do that make a big impact. And here's the important thing I want to say to you, ladies. Beyond our own perceptions of our roles as mothers, we as Christian women have been given help and hope. So often we're so hard on ourselves. We live in a world of comparison. We live in a world of Pinterest and Instagram and Facebook likes. And too often we look at ourselves and we wonder whether or not we're even measuring up. But God's word has been given to us as something to cut through all of that noise and give us a glorious truth, an anchor for our souls, a rest for our hearts when they are weary. The scriptures have a lot to say about momming. And I want to just give you a few examples of some, though there are many. And again, I want to encourage you, go to the Word of God. Go to the very back of the concordance and look up the word mother or motherhood and do a word study. And let the Word of God pour into you and fill you so that you can start to temper some of the things that you think you need versus the things that you really should want as a believer. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 27 through 29. Now, we all know that the Proverbs 31 woman is just miraculous and wonderful, right? Too often, we look at her and then we look at ourselves and we feel like we don't quite measure up. But she is simply a woman who did the same things over and over and over again. And then in this portion of Proverbs, it says she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Now, I don't know that my children raise up and say, Mom, you are blessed. You are our blessing in our lives. But the things that they do, the things that they say, the hugs, the Mom, thank you for an amazing dinner. Thanks for helping me with my homework. Thank you for going out of your way. That is rising up and that is calling me blessed. No, my husband doesn't say, Laurel, you do many, women do many noble things, but you surpass them all. But when he brings flowers from Costco, when he does the dishes, when he encourages me, when he helps me with an assignment, all of those things give me those same words in a modern day text. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7 says, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit down in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down. And when you rise. Notice that the writer says, these words that I command you shall be on your heart. Sisters, we can't simply have the scripture adorn our walls because we got a beautiful plaque at Hobby Lobby. I have plenty of them. But the word of God must rest on our hearts and in our souls so that we can give it to our children. God wants the word not only to rest on us, it is so that we can teach our children diligently, consistently, day after day. Talk with them, not just when we're in church, but when we're sitting down to dinner and when we're sitting outside around the campfire, when we lie down and the last words that we whisper to them at night are, God loves you, God bless you, God keep you, may his face shine upon you and give you peace. And when they rise in the morning, before the busyness of bowls come out and cereal gets poured, to pause and to say, God has given us this day. We have much to be thankful for. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 9 says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Amen and hallelujah. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Somebody ought to put that in calligraphy on their wall. Amen. Because the reality is, we don't want our children to forget the teaching that we give them, not just the biblical teaching, how to forgive a friend who betrayed them, how to make up with the neighbor kid when you had a disagreement, how to push in and to press in. God wants the word of God to be something that flows out of us because it is already on the inside of us. I want to draw your attention to a portion of scripture that focuses on two women, a mother and a grandmother, who together raised a young man who would become a transformational leader in the early church. Their names? Lois and Eunice. And the young man that they would raise is named Timothy. Let's go to a portion of scripture found in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. And I'm reading from the New International Version. So join me. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God that he gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and he has called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but I have now been revealing it through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now that's a big portion of scripture, but I want you to understand what is happening here. This is the final letter that the Apostle Paul is writing to his spiritual son, Timothy. Paul is preparing to die, and he's writing a heartfelt message to this son in the faith. He's giving him essentially his marching orders as Paul has been his mentor. And he's saying, Timothy, I want to recall to you all of the things that give me confidence about you as a leader. And I want you to notice that where Paul begins is not with all of Timothy's accolades. It's with his faith. And what does he say about his faith? He says that I recall seeing your tears, and I am reminded in verse 5 of your sincere faith, your constant, consistent faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded, I am convinced it now lives in you also. Above and beyond everything else that Timothy was ever given, even by Paul, he was given a robust, consistent faith that made a mark on Paul's heart to the point where he said, I want you to walk with me in this journey. Mentioned only once by name in the entire Bible, Lois and Eunice are the mother and grandmother of Timothy, this young mentee, spiritual son, and missionary apprentice of the apostle. Timothy grew up in Lystra, a town which we would now place in modern-day Turkey in the Middle East. The son of a Jewish believing mother, as she's described in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, and a Greek father. Outside of this portion of scripture, Timothy's father is never mentioned in any detail. The role that he played in Timothy's life is rather obscure at best. But here is what we do know. We know that Lois, Timothy's grandmother, who was also a believer, reared Timothy alongside her daughter. The two of them are credited in raising him up to be the kind of man of faith that the Apostle Paul would call his true son in the faith. If you know anything about the scriptures, you know that there were those who were not true followers and those that were. Paul experienced many hardships on his journey, including individuals who walked away from him. But Timothy was one who he could trust. And why could he trust him? Because of his faith. And where did he get that faith? From his grandmother and his mother. That is no small thing. You see, women of God, it's not how often you're mentioned. Whether it's once or a million times. The reality is that the God of all creation knows you, and he looks at you right now, and he remembers you as he remembered Lois and Eunice, whose names have been printed in every single Bible ever since. One mention, because of their faithfulness, has been a ripple effect for all time. Women of God, listen to me. What is the ripple effect that you want to leave in the life of your children? You can give them great things. You can bless them with great wealth. You can give them a wonderful education. You can give them palatial homes. You can give them food that they desire every single day. But please, above all, give them faith. Give them faith in a time in our world where people mock our faith. Give them a faith that is storm-hardy. Give them a faith that will allow them to make wise choices. Give them faith that will allow them to stand in the face of persecution and say, "My Redeemer lives." I guarantee you that Lois and Eunice probably experienced some eyes at the market. Both of them single, no husband or grandfather, and yet these women raised a man with courage. I don't know where you are today. I don't know if you are single or married, whether you're in the midst of a difficult situation or in wedded bliss. I don't know the way that your children came to you. I don't know how you are looking at yourself as a parent, but here's what I can tell you. None of those things matter. They pale in comparison to this, that you have a father who loves you and knows you. One of his names is the Mighty Breasted One, that he is one who has a heart of sensitivity and knows what he has put on the inside of you. It does not matter what eyes look at you in judgment. It only matters that you live and minister for an audience of one. 1 Samuel talks about when David was being selected, that man looks at the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. When God looks at your heart, what does he see? What is he seeing today? Is he seeing a troubled heart that is down on herself, a mind that is raging with frustration and brokenness? Maybe you're there. But I want you to know that the God of all creation, the God of all hope, is calling to you, and he will give you everything you need to raise your children, be they coming from your own body or placed in your arms. God has given you something special on the inside, and that is to love and to give all that you have, because he gave all that he had. The word of God tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's you and that's me, would believe in him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:17 says, for God came into the world and sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. I don't know about you. I've prayed long and hard for my daughters. I want awesome son-in-laws for my daughters, but I want them to have eternal life more than that. I want them to be stellar women of God who keep themselves and walk in holiness, but I want them to know their Savior more than that. I want them to be A students because they have the intellectual capacity, but I want them to be worshipers more than that. Timothy was someone who was made more than who he was as a simple boy from Lystra because he had two women who poured life into him. Paul is saying in this epistle, I could not be your spiritual father had it not been for your mother and grandmother. What they instilled in you has made you a man that is worthy. I trust you, and I trust the Spirit of God in you. You would not be who you are without them. This is true of all of our children. I would love to say that the things that I see in Naomi and Camille are because of me and their daddy, but you know what it is the favor and the grace of God that is making these young women make me step back and say, Lord, to God alone be the glory. He's also saying, Paul is saying to Timothy, what was in them, rooted in them, tested in them, tried in them, is in you. Your preparedness, your consistency, your boldness, your love for the Lord is directly linked to the work of your mothers and your grandmother. And it is no small thing. Women of God, I want you to hear today, men of God who sit by their side, children who are playing at their feet, know this. Say thank you. If your mother is alive, say thank you. Husbands, boyfriends, significant others, if you're sitting next to her, turn to her and say, thank you. Thank you for every moment, for every meal, for every clean floor, for every tear, for coming in the door after a busy day and caring for us. Say thank you. Because this is essentially what Paul is doing for Eunice and Lois. He is saying, thank you. Thank you for the deposit. Thank you for the investment. Because of you, I can now be also a spiritual father. Momming is no small thing. No matter how little or how often you are mentioned, thanked, argued with, or honored, ignored, spit upon, split up with, walked in or walked out on, given to or taken from, your investment in your children has never been and shall never be a small thing to God. Whether your mother is living or in heaven, successful or struggling, saved or searching, married or single, content or miserably broken, my cry for you right now as we bring the band back forward and spend some time in prayer, my cry to you and for you is that we would spend just a moment getting on our face, getting on our knees. Maybe your kids are busy, whatever they're doing, just take this moment for yourself and cry out to God. Don't compare yourself to Lois or Eunice or Mary or Jochebed or Hannah or any of the other women or Esther or the Proverbs 31 woman. Instead, I want you to put your hands in a place of surrender. And I want you to receive this prayer as we pray not only for ourselves, but we pray for the women of the world, those who have more fortune than we will ever see, and those who have nothing and are living in brokenness. May our hearts and the hearts of the Father not just cry out that he would meet us in our need, but meet them as well. And so, King Eternal, God of all creation, on this Mother's Day weekend, we bring ourselves to you as your children, as your daughters. Oh God, we want to be the kind of mothers that bless and encourage and plant seeds in our children, that they would be gracious leaders as Timothy was. We want to see our children grow and flourish and live and love and serve. Oh, Abba Father, sometimes we feel so small, so insignificant, like we've made all of the wrong decisions. But Lord, I thank you that the decision that you made when you sent your son into the world to die for us on a rugged cross in Calvary shifted and changed the game for us, that we don't have to look at our faux pas, but we can look at the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. And so, Lord, today we give you our lives and the lives of women all around the world, those who have great wealth but do not have the Spirit, those who have nothing at all but rejoice in you, and everywhere in between. God, today we lift ourselves, this church, and one another up. Help us to be encouragers of one another, lovers of one another, givers to one another. We give ourselves to you as you've given us so much, Lord Jesus. Heal our hearts where we're broken, where our minds are raging and we battle with the brokenness of day to day. Whether we find ourselves laughing or crying, Lord, be lifted up in us. Heal us and make us whole, that we can continue to invest in our children and our children's children, and that the world may not recognize them for the things that they have, save this, that Jesus Christ is their King and their Lord. And because of that, they are changing the world. We thank you, King Eternal, for loving us and for this time of preaching and of prayer. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.